guys, we know you like to listen to our podcasts and reviews. We know generally that you like to listen to stuff. How about listening to stuff on Audible?
Well, Audible, isn't that what we do?
Well, I mean, we do Audible reviews, but I'm talking about Audible.com. I mean, you're talking about one of the internet's best resources for audio programs from leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, and even business information providers.
Like over 150,000 audio programs, adding up to over 1,500,000 hours of audio programming. I don't think we're quite there yet.
No.
Yeah,
but we'll get there.
But, you know, obviously you guys like audio. You're looking for new audio stuff to check out. Audible.com has more than enough of what you're looking for.
And we're proud to call them a sponsor. And as a special gift to you, we're offering you, through Audible, a free audiobook. All you have to do is click on the link on the bottom of this page, or you can go to audibletrial.com/oneofus. And by doing so, not only do you get a free audiobook, but you're helping out the site as well.
And we know you want to do that.
Of course you want to do that.
Because we're standing outside your window watching you right now, wanting to do that.
Absolutely. So stop, look, and most importantly, listen to audible.com.
My name is Carlton, and I'm back here watching on the podcast, Meta Podcast. We're watching them record today, and we're back. JC, what do you think?
Carlton, huh?
Yeah, Carlton. It's not unusual.
Yeah. Well, we are also here with Diva.
Yes, Diva's here with you all. And we are reviewing Pitch Perfect 2.
Yes, we are.
Yeah,
yes,
we are.
My goodness. What a movie. What a movie. Well, so, of course.
I can't believe it's already been long enough to have a sequel. Like, it feels like Pitch Perfect just came out.
Right. Yeah, and the whole cast is apparently still in college.
That was the thing that sort of was a little bit... before we get too into it, because I can feel this is going to be a fun review. I can see it coming.
Yeah.
Do you want to go over the plot? Are also called Mighty Ducks 2?
Yeah. So you mentioned that it's been 3 years, and how interestingly enough they're still in college. Well, it's semi plausible in that from the events of the first one, there was an event that kind of led to the end of the Barton Bellas. Mm-hmm. And so they kind of sort of had to rebuild. And so they sort of rebuilt from the bottom.
Started
so
from the bottom, and now they're here.
Yeah.
That does not work on radio.
Yeah.
Not so much.
he did the thing for the top.
That's great, though. I loved it.
Yeah. Fast forward 3 years later, they just like the end of the first movie, they become a dominant a cappella team. They're all still in college, except for Chloe, played by Brittany Snow, who she admits failed Russian Lit 3 times, so in order to still be on the Bellas, so she's been there for 7 years total. That's a little sad.
So what we're really saying here is that we have a John Belushi, like, eternal college person, or yeah, a team of women who just can't seem to leave this a cappella group. And so after a huge social disgrace in front of the President of the United States, which they actually got a cameo of Obama and Michelle Obama.
Yeah.
Either that or great B-roll.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Then, as you were saying, JC, they have to win their title back as the best a cappella group.
Yeah, so in the 3 years, they've kind of been the nation's darlings and bringing the world of a cappella to the forefront. But a wardrobe malfunction paints the Bellas in a bad light, and they sort of get suspended, kind of like you do in the NFL. That's another show. and so they have to kind of battle their way back and earn all of their love back. And most of the Bellas are back. Fat Amy is back, played by...
Love that name.
Yeah, played by Rebel Wilson. Brittany Snow, who plays Chloe. Becca, played by Anna Kendrick. Really, a lot of the famous faces are back, the only new one being Hayley Stanfield, who...
That's who that is.
Yeah. Who's, okay. She's an actress that I really like.
What has she done?
Remind the audience.
She started out in True Grit. She was the little girl in True Grit.
Okay, that's where I know that cute little face.
She's got a legit good singing voice that you can hear a little bit of in the movie Begin Again.
Yeah, okay, that's... I feel like she's, like, the next on the line from Jennifer Lawrence to Shailene Woodley... Now you got Hayley Stanfield. Like, this is the next one that's going to have their young adult franchise coming out.
Yeah.
Whatever the next one is, it's coming.
Yeah. So this entry is directed by Elizabeth Banks, who she kind of produced the first one, produced this one, this time gets behind the camera. And so It has a lot of the same elements. A few, they're placed in a few extra steps. Like you would kind of, in a comedy movie, you sort of equate it to them kind of going from skit to skit the way some comedies do.
They definitely, yeah, and it starts really slow. Like,
yeah.
The first 15 minutes, I was worried that, because like, when you do these reviews, I'm coming straight from work, I was worried, okay, Elliot, let, you know, try to meet the movie on its own terms. Don't, like, don't ask for it to, like, hit you right out of the gate. Like, say, Avengers 2 hits you with that action scene, like, the first scene. Okay, they're starting, and it, I like the movie,
mm-hmm.
but I want to hear what Diva has to say about the movie. Let's just jump in.
All right, I'm going to jump in on this. It's not my favorite.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what, the first movie was great because it was about a cappella music.
Mm-hmm.
The movie was really about the music. And this movie, you are, no longer have that as the focus. The focus is the scattered comedy sketches that are borderline racist. I mean, I don't even know if they're clever or racist.
And here's the thing.
It's brutal.
I disagree on the point about it not being about the music, but I can't agree with you. There's this like hipster racism that goes on. Where it's like, we acknowledge it, and we're diverse, so we can make these jokes. It's like, yeah, I would love to have my cake and eat it too, but you really shouldn't.
And instead of like celebrating diversity through humor, you're cringing through half of these one-liners. Yeah. They're brutal.
There really are a few times where the extreme racism is really kind of tongue-in-cheek, but at the same time, it's like, how tongue-in-cheek is
like,
that,
it's
really?
It's just enough to where if you say something, it's almost like you're oversensitive, but it's just towing that line where it's like, come on, people, like you got the Hispanic one. Every time she talks, she's like talking basically as a stereotype. She escaped her country. And
yeah,
she's
this
gonna be
refugee.
Deported.
And
then you got the Asian one is quiet and creepy. And oh, by the way, knows ninja skills like that comes out of nowhere.
Yeah,
she sleeps upside down. Like, yeah. What is that? Well, where did that come from?
She actually maintains a lot of her personality from the first movie, which she was one of my favorite characters from the first one, just because she's wacky.
Yeah, and she's wacky. The thing is, they do walk a really fine line.
Well, the girls do. The guy who plays one of the announcers.
He's just funny.
Like, I think, but he's so far over that line that he snaps back to you where you know they're not scared.
And that's kind of what I'm saying. It's like you can say something so overtly racist, and when you say it like so far beyond the line, you can be like, it's joke.
Well, I also think that the role of the funny announcer has been done before, and they're always forgiven because they're meant to be that freak who shouldn't be in that job but is so funny that you just kind of forgive him versus there's some internal really racist snaps in this movie.
There's a few that they say from the announcers, like there's one that's like, nobody cares about the Koreans, and there's this like really like anti-Filipino thing going on, and I'm like... Yeah.
Oh, the Filipino joke.
And you know it was bad because nobody laughed. Like, in a crowd that was full of just...
A young crowd.
Pitches.
Of preteens.
That's what they... I got a slap brisket right here. that's the lingo that they are putting out there. They say, get pitch slap. For fuck's sake, I saw a Pitch Perfect 2 sponsored... I think it was a razor that had in the background of their little promo before a movie, basic pitches. Like, that was their punchline. And I'm like, I get it. Pitch rhymes with bitch, and that's really edgy. Okay, can we move on?
Well, the movie didn't commit between being edgy and being a cutesy, kind of fluffy character piece. And the reason I say it gets away from the music is that, I don't know if you heard it, but that was one of the most auto-corrected movies I've ever heard. I mean, music was very auto-corrected. There was bass lines in there. Don't tell me that was a cappella. The first movie was true to form. It was totally about a cappella. This one is just about making it bigger, making it splashier.
But see, I feel like I can see what you're saying, but I feel like the script was written really smartly for everything I've said negatively against it.
Well,
because
it's funny.
It's funny, but not only is that, they're acknowledging what happens in sequels. Like, their entire arc in that movie is... Okay, we're getting too big. We're doing everything that's not the music. So the end is there. You know, generally in a story, I know this. Like, you try to grow throughout the story.
Right.
You have like little, then the action gets bigger. But what happens is they have this arc where they're trying to get back to the music, so that when you get to the end, I found the end a little bit anticlimactic. But I had to like remind myself that's the theme they're going for.
Right.
Is that they get it back to the music, and there were some nice cameos in that scene.
And it's funny, on both of those points, I kind of agree with both of you guys, because I feel like in the end, it does sort of make it all about music, but I don't feel like it really earned
the ending. Yeah, it didn't earn that.
And all throughout, I totally agree with you, Diva, in that it's not as much about the music. It's really just kind of going from skit to skit. And on a comedy level, I think it's as funny as the first one. But I think what was really great about the first one was that it kind of came out of nowhere. Like the trailers for the first one came out, completely skipped it. I completely brushed it off, had no interest in it, and then was told how amazing it is, gave it a shot, and was blown away. I don't feel like if I would have never given the first one a shot and then given this one a shot, I'd been like, what's so amazing about that?
I mean, the first one had the first one had the advantage of being a surprise.
Right.
Like, nobody saw Pitch Perfect, the first one coming.
The first one was a solid film.
Mm-hmm.
In and out, from the talent all the way through to the storyline and the writing. And I have to disagree that, I have to say that this one is not solid. It's patchwork. It's patchwork comedy. There's funny, great moments in it, but like, how boring was the montage? How boring. I was bored. They sang through the whole montage of them doing these weird, like, you know, fun team building things but it was terrible. Like, I didn't understand how that pushed the story forward at all, how that did anything good for the movie. And then also, supposedly, Anna Kendrick's character and the new gal.
Hayley Steinfeld's character.
Yes. Collaborate and write this mind-blowing song that they show this major producer to demo to show how talented they really are. We get to hear 5 seconds of the song.
The song is what they perform at the end of the movie.
Yes, but it's all remixed and amazing. So you're saying that, like, so this is the foreshadowing of the real song, which was really vanilla and mediocre at best. I think what really happened here is they lost the musical talent that helped them in the first movie. They weren't even get the same level of talent.
Yeah,
so
that's fair.
They had to scramble and make it more about the story. Because I will say, I laughed my butt off at Fat Amy's love song. That was brilliant.
That was really good.
It was beautiful. And I think that's Elizabeth Banks' signature, is that she's funny. And as a director, the humor really, really shines in this movie. It's just that the story falls flat.
Yeah, and I like this movie a lot more than you did, Diva. I take your points as valid, because I tell you, when I was watching this movie, it felt like I could hear the writing room. Like, I felt like there was the writer who was sort of a hack, and then there's the writer who's like, no,
brilliant,
this doesn't make any sense.
Yes.
We gotta keep, like, there's always a comment on the movie while you're watching the movie. Like, there's a scene where they go to this party and they have to just go through bushes. Like, and there's a little dub at the end of that scene. Hey, was a bush always here?
Yeah.
Like, just sort of like to wave at the audience who's watching it on a sort of a different level. Like, yeah, we get it. This is stupid. Just go with it.
And then
yeah.
someone else says, isn't there a gate?
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny.
And that's like, great.
Those are brilliant moments.
Because I want a movie, if it's going to do something stupid, I want it to wink at me so that they don't insult me. I'm like, okay, good. I'm watching a summer movie. It's fine. I mean, it's not the comedic heights of Eurotrip. Oh, wait, that wasn't that good.
And I have to get, and I agree with you. Of some of those points, the only thing is it needed to be just a touch more meta for it to work in the way that.
Well, that's the thing. They didn't go all the way. Is the problem? Like,
yeah.
they
pulled their punches.
Yeah, it's like they said, we got a certain crowd coming in, and the crowd wants to see X. We'll give them X, we're gonna try to make it good objectively, and they didn't really swing for the fences.
And in that though, I think they kind of did paint themselves in a corner, because what we end up with is a movie that's 115 minutes long, and I can guarantee you, if a few more things were fleshed out a little bit, this ended up being a 125 or 130 minute movie. Fuck that.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it felt long.
I always know a movie's too long when I notice I'm in the theater.
Yeah,
like if a movie's like the right length, I want more, because like the part where I just hate even saying this name, Amy or Patricia. I'm not calling her the fucking name. Was she like singing on
Fat
the boat?
Fat Amy.
That shit bothers me. Like, it just really gets.
It is.
And yeah, her side plot is one where I was kind of in the middle of the movie thinking, you could have just completely taken out this entire subplot. And then that happens. And it's like, well, shit.
Yeah, they were just building. that's the problem. It's like some of the writing is the entire thing is setting up a joke. Like the fact that when they go to David Krause's house, that he's in the movie, he's really great in it.
I actually really like that scene.
But there's a part where there's a goose on a table.
Oh yeah.
And the minute you see that goose, you know it's just setting up a joke.
Right.
But then you have other jokes that are really, really funny. Like there's a sports team who makes a really fucking funny cameo.
Yeah. Oh, the cameos are the best thing of this movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, they're brilliant. So many great cameos.
Yeah. And it's like, I tell you, if there's one thing I'd have to mark it down is the hipster racism, but two is I actually thought DSM was better. Like, oh, yeah. I enjoyed watching them more. They were fun.
It's kind of one of those things.
They had a hype man.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things, like, I guess you can say it's a spoiler, but it's a semi-sports 40. Movie.
Yeah, that's like, motherfucker, get a job. Go get a mortgage.
They're in their 40s, and they're in an a cappella team.
Like, you're German. You're supposed to be efficient and, like really in, like, you're supposed to be, like, business people. Do something.
Yeah, there are times where it's just like...
That's racist.
They're way better.
Austerity, Germany, Greece, look it up, kids.
Yeah.
So should we do our last thoughts?
Sure. You seem really anxious to...
Well, to finish this movie? No. Okay, so from my personal point of view, given that the entire a cappella team, only three of them actually sing, and one of them's actually really good, and I won't say which one that is, because it's pretty obvious whenever she raises that beautiful voice of hers, that kind of ticked me off. And then just the lack of talent, the music side of it, which I think was the best thing about the first one, how fun that was, and just the scatteredness that I've brought up. I'm going to give it 3 flat notes out of 10, because it really is a late night watching on the couch because it happens to come on kind of movie. But I want to give Elizabeth Banks some credits because she's funny, and that comes through so strongly in the movie, the funniness. Maybe I'll give them 4 flat notes because she really is a funny director. She just needs to, I think, work on story and like the overall feel.
Like staying
arc.
True.
Yeah, absolutely. Staying true to the message of your movie, even if it's silly.
Yeah.
I enjoyed this movie in spite of myself. Like... I really wasn't in the mood to watch this movie when I got into the theater, but I made myself go along with it. Really enjoyed it. Although, I tell you, I do mark it down, and I don't want to seem oversensitive, but there was this vein of sort of like, it's a little bit too edgy in the first movie when they were making fun of her Asian roommate the entire time. Like, so it gets it honestly. It's not that this came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Really smart writing, but, before I move on, Key from Key and Peele was in the movie, and he's the best part of the damn movie. He's hilarious. I mean,
yeah,
he just
not enough of him, but yeah.
He speaks for me as a 30-year-old black man sitting in the damn audience like, why are you here? Fuck if I know. And he's just like making fun of the audience so I don't have to. And I love that. So just for Key and Peele, I'm gonna bump this to 7 sharps out of 10.
I'm a huge fan of the first one. It caught me by surprise, like I said earlier. Was really, really hyped for this one. Everything I'd seen from the trailers kind of made me feel like it was going to be in the same vein. It's really hard to follow up a great original film like the first one and have it make a sequel be as good. And so it's not as much about the music, which was something that I really enjoyed. I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I did and didn't even realize it until I saw this movie. I laughed quite a bit throughout. Some of the comedy does fall a little bit flat. Some of the racist jokes are just way beyond not that any racist joke is necessary, but way beyond what should be considered necessary as the only word I can come up with.
It's beyond a wink.
Right. Yeah. I like the new addition of Hailee Steinfeld, because she's really talented and I just want to keep seeing her and stuff. A few plots I felt weren't needed that kind of made the movie last a little bit longer than it needed to. Overall, still kind of had a pretty good time with it. I don't know that a sequel was really necessary considering with what we got, because the first one is so great and I would still go back and revisit the first one. But I would just give this a solid 6 out of 10 music notes.
And now, the one of us crew will perform this entire review again a cappella. Diva?
I hated this movie.
Okay, that's enough.